great, an episode where I get to talk about depression. I wonder if I can put some razzle-dazzle in this, or a little sizzle in the darkness. Maybe a little paprika just to spice it up. Yeah, we won't know till we try. You are listening to ADHD Big Brother, the podcast for adults struggling with their ADHD and comorbid depression symptoms. Yeah. I'm your host, Russ Jones, author of Descending to the Top, believer that you can actually have a smile in your life despite this diagnosis. So let's make some sense out of this struggle. Let's learn some stuff. Let's laugh at some stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, here's some stuff. Welcome to the podcast, you guys. Happy Monday, or whatever day it is that you're listening to this. Happy that day. Alrighty, should we do this? We're going to talk about depression. It's my favorite. Oh my God, this is my favorite comorbidity of ADHD, you guys. You might be thinking, oh, well, yeah, but what about RSD? Rejection-sensitive dysphoria. That one's pretty cool. Yeah, that's up there. I mean, getting dramatically butthurt and reactionary to small offenses. Thinking that you hate me because you responded to my text without an exclamation point. Yeah, that is a tasty one. Yeah, I do enjoy a good bout of being butthurt. But I don't know, depression is kind of a big deal. You know, is it a comorbidity of ADHD, or is ADHD a comorbidity of my depression? That's the question. We're chicken and egging it here. Is it, which came first? I hope you guys don't mind that I'm not acting all mopey. I think you're like, wait a second. He doesn't sound depressed. No, this is not what depression sounds like. I feel like that people, it's like when people call in sick for work, you know, and they're like, oh, I don't think I'm going to make it into work today. I'm really sick. I can't. I've been throwing up and it's awful. I'm like, okay, nobody's passing out Oscars for sick calls. When I have the flu and I call in sick, I could literally sound like this. Hey, man. Yeah, I've got the flu. I have fever. I'm throwing up. I don't think I'm going to make it in. All right. Thanks, man. Sorry. Click. Weed is thick and he didn't sound like he was really under the weather. Yeah, I feel the same way about depression. I can still laugh my ass off. I can still have a fine conversation with anybody. And then at the same time, feel completely hopeless and just fully uninterested in the world and apathetic. And, you know, I think you're awesome and I'm happy to talk to you. But can we stay talking about you? Because when it's about me, I'm like, ugh. I think maybe that's an aspect of why it goes unnoticed, or why a lot of funnier people out there are depressed. It feels sad to say, but some of that for me, when I was doing stand-up and sketch comedy, I think if a room full of people are laughing at me, then that's a form of love. It's a validation that I'm not able to give myself because I don't love myself. And I recognize that that is such a sad thing to say. Like, oh my God, did he just say that? Yeah, it's sad to say, but you hear me talking a lot about like being cool with myself. That's achievable. That's the achievable equivalent for me to love myself. And I've achieved being cool with myself. And in moments when I'm not, it's close enough to get to. You just have to love yourself, though. Self-care. You are a gift, Russell Jones. I'm like, okay, well, if I'm a gift, I'd like the gift receipt because I'd like to make a return, maybe get an upgrade on the brand. Sorry, guys. This is the depression episode, though. I might be jaded about some stuff. Maybe I've got some lessons to learn. Maybe in a year, I'm going to be all like, oh, guys, I'm so embarrassed. I am so embarrassed to say this right now, but they're right. You can manifest loving yourself. And all it takes is drinking water and good sleep and 3 walks a week in a community, bubble baths, brushing your teeth and cutting out red meat and dancing. Oh my God, we've been fucking idiots. It's been right under our noses. To me, like finding my mantra of be cool with myself, that's been astronomically helpful to me. It's just not a realistic jump for me to go from I hate myself to I love myself. You know, but what I can do is put up with myself. I can be cool with myself and I can accept myself, and that's enough. And over time, you know, who knows? You know, maybe I do fall in love with myself. I don't know, maybe get into a serious relationship with myself and, you know, let's see where it goes. Might end up, maybe there's a marriage in there of myself to myself.
We can't predict the future. If you guys are interested, I'm currently scoring a 24 on the Beck's Depression Inventory version 2. Yeah, you want to check it out? We could play Who's Got It Worse? It's another of the self-diagnostic testaroonies. You can Google it. You can get it from me. I'll put a link to it in my show notes. I'm not a doctor. So actually, let's do this. Let's go all the way. Let's do this so that nobody's under any kind of false thingamajig here. I don't diagnose. What else? I don't take my advice. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a therapist. Talk to your doctor first. Your doctor's always going to be smarter and wiser and better looking than me. And everything I say is for funsies. Your decisions are your own. This is just me talking about me, and you, whatever you decide to do for you based on your choice. I think that covers me. Are we good here? Nobody's got a lawyer on a speed dial. Wait, he wronged me with his words. I think we're good. The Beck's Depression Inventory, that was just, it's just something that I do to check in with my state from time to time. I don't do it that often, but it's also such a pain to schedule a psychiatry appointment. For me, like, you have to do those things a couple months in advance, and it's $200. I have good insurance, and it's still $200 out of pocket for me. And I'm not rolling in the dough. I don't have, hey, let's have a meeting and give me some medicine. I don't have that $200 disposable income, but I will if I have to. But the last time I was dealing with taking antidepressants, I had to go through a process of dealing with random, out of the blue, no warning nosebleeds. And so I had to stop taking my ADHD medicine. Maybe it was too much stimulant medicine, you know, with my blood pressure, and not taking the ADHD medicine makes life really fucking hard for me. So my personal choice is that I can and I will live with this baseline depression, and I'll work on it. But I would absolutely get on medicine if I was feeling ultra dark for too long. And I do have people in my world whose opinions matter to me and who would intervene if needed. And I've been there before, so I know what it feels like and I know when it's time. And thankfully, I'm not there. They say on Beck's Depression Inventory that a score of 24 is considered moderate depression. I scored a 24. That seems about right. If you score 29 or higher, that's considered major depression. And I myself, if I was 29 or higher for maybe like a month or maybe less, I don't know, and nothing was changing, I'd probably be trying to get back on my medicine. So what is a 24 on the Beck's Depression Inventory? What does that feel like? You guys want to talk about how I feel when I'm sad? It's not even really sad. Is it? It's like, I mean, there's sad aspects to it. There's crying sometimes when I'm alone, but it's more like a darker feeling when it's bad. Crying is almost a positive sign because it means that I care. You know, like, oh my God, why am I like this? Why can't it be better? I want it to be. When you're crying, you're actually feeling. It means that you want something to change. But often when it's really dark, you're past that and I'll feel it'll be hopeless, worthless, apathy. Like it's beyond crying. More like I don't fucking, who fucking cares? Like I quit. That's when it's that a bit darker. I've been diagnosed a depressive disorder, other specified, which is fucking great, which to me means like, yeah, this guy's depressed, but we don't quite have an official name for it. We don't have a name tag to give you or a group for you to join. So we're going to put you in the junk drawer. We're going to put you in the miscellaneous bin of depressive disorders. I'm normally right around the 20 mark in the Beck's Depression Inventory, which in some of the worksheets will say that it's borderline clinical depression. And that makes sense for me because my baseline for life is sort of like, nah, whatever. And that's not who I want to be. Here's another caveat for you guys. So depression is it's a tricky thing to talk about. And it's scary because the word suicide is attached to it. So there's the scariness to talking about it. It makes me super nervous to talk about it. So I'll just keep repeating that. This is just me. This is my opinion. I don't have a degree in depression. I'm just skilled at experiencing it in various levels. And there's a ton of people experiencing it in a much darker way. And I'm assuming that you all know that if you have suicidal ideations, and especially if you're actively planning it, then you should get help. When I had dark days, I've never planned So I would feel like I really don't care one way or the other, you know, like I'm just sort of done, you know, tossed the idea of, you know, how important am I on this planet? You know, will I be missed? Stuff that never really leads to a fruitful response in the brain. And that's the point when I would recommend and when I chose to reach out for an assist. At that point, I was like, it's ridiculous to have to be in that state. I deserve to feel better about life. Give me a pill that makes that happen. Nosebleeds. Let's nosebleed our way to some smiles. So if that's you, I mean, giving advice to someone who's depressed, it's like, here's the deal. I know what it's like to get advice when you have no interest in hearing it. Depressed people, we aren't typically open for business for advice. But if you're in a bad place, if you can, talk to someone. Reach out to family. Reach out to Suicide Prevention Line. I mean, just to make a friend. I mean, they have to talk to you. Take them back to kindergarten. Get it all off your chest. Just purge it. Have I called customer service to deal with an issue and found myself oversharing because I connected? Maybe.
Hey, what country are you in right now? Oh, the Philippines? Hey, well, what's it like over there? Hey, can you hear a lot of people in the background? Are you guys busy? Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, so I'm a Prime member and I was guaranteed my package and it never came. Yeah, I got depression, so I figured I thought maybe an essential oils and some candle smells would be a mood booster. And I mean, that's what they're called, you know, they're mood booster candles. So it's worth a shot. Yeah, been depressed for about a month and a half now. Oh, sorry, tracking number. Yeah, okay. P735.
It's like, who cares, you know? You guys can always send me an email as a friend, not as a licensed professional doctor of psychology, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'll try to turn up your dimmer switch, you know, see if I can put a little more light in your life. Gosh, I know the podcast is for tips and tricks but depression is tough for me because the things that will help us are the things that we have no motivation to do. And with ADHD, it takes special skills to do things that we have no motivation for. So it's a real whammy, you know, for doing the things that are good for us. Get good sleep, exercise, go out in nature, see friends, drink water, you know, whatever the deal. So maybe this episode is more about like, hey, you're not alone. That kind of an episode. Like there's a whole load of us going through this crumb dummy time, you know? So here's me. For the past couple of months, maybe, I don't go outside, except I go outside to get to work. I'm functional. I take my kids to school. I'm very social at work. I laugh. I have a great time or I have a shitty time. And I come home. And when I have my kids, I'm lit up. I'm tired, but I'm like, you know. But if I'm alone and when I lie in bed or when my kids are gone on the weekends, I fall back into my base feeling of apathy or whatever. And now when it comes to ADHD, there's stuff that we can do to manage our symptoms and achieve things and do things. But when it comes to depression, it feels like all the work that needs to be done is preventative. It's the things that we need to put in place in our lives just to minimize the impact of when we're dancing around that depressive episode. For me, the best that I got is the mantra to be cool with myself. There's so much that my brain wants to point out is hopeless with me. Okay, so like I'm single, I'm unattractive, I'm not a good partner, I'm broke, I'm a slob, I can't keep my home in order, I'm getting late fees still, I still try to shop on a budget, but I throw out plenty of food. Well, what a fucking idiot. It's just so easy for me. My brain doesn't naturally spitball compliments. I've got them for days for you. I can compliment and find greatness in you, but I just don't have any for myself when I'm in a depressive funk. Do we call them funks when I'm down and when I'm down in the dirt? So the thought process here would be like, okay, so add some compliments in there. Make your brain do the work. But in depression, I'm not up for the work. I don't want to try shit. I don't want to say nice things about myself. I'm not in the mood to do that. It's like when you're dealing with your kids and they get into an argument and you're like, okay, Noble, apologize to Alistair. And he's like, sorry. You're like, no. Apologize. Okay. I'm sorry. I put your sandwich in the toilet. Okay. I won't do it again. You're like, that's not an apology. That's not sincere. You don't mean it. He's not sorry about the sandwich. He meant to throw it in the toilet. And you know, they're going through the motions, and going through the motions doesn't do anything. That's like positive self-talk to me when I'm depressed. I'm just like, ugh, whatever. Okay. I love myself. No, you fucking don't, you idiot. But wait a minute. No, I'm a good person. No. You're a dipshit. Oh, God. Okay. I'm just not able to do that when I'm depressed. That's why in my head, the advice that works is never how to make it go away. It's going to come and go in its own time. And I'm either going to have or I'm not going to have a capacity to do anything about it. Pills aside. And I'm only chemically capable right now of being at a certain level of of being non-depressed or depressed or not. It's I'm a 24 man on the Beck's Depression Inventory. Is this ideal for me? No. No, it's not. I would like to be more, get more out of life. I would like to be a little more chipper during the day. I want to get back to a place where I know I've been before, where I'm marveling at my existence in terms of like how grateful I am to be in this skin suit, in this vehicle, experiencing life. Wow, that's pretty cool. I have felt that gratitude and that sense of awe, and I can remind myself on paper, but it doesn't mean anything when I'm in that depressive state, if that makes sense. So this idea of like, oh, how do I fix this? I believe it's more of a storm to be ridden out. You know, for me, it would be the same thing if I went back on antidepressants. You know, you don't take the pill on Monday at 8 a.m. and then like at 9 a.m. you're, well, I'm walking on sunshine. Yeah, dude, I feel great again. That's not how it works. So in the meantime, I try to laugh at as much as I can. Laughter is the best band-aid. It's not a fixer. You're not sad when you're laughing. In that moment in time, you have a reprieve. And so I will seek comedy when I need it. Laughter to me would be, I'd consider that a holistic approach. Whereas before in my 20s, maybe I was going to drugs and alcohol. I was looking for a way to numb it. And laughter is a much healthier way to do that. I don't know that this would help you if you're depressed, but I fill my cup by following my purpose. I might not be fully motivated and excited, but I do know that I'm fulfilling my purpose. I'm fulfilling a sense of duty, and perhaps good vibes will eventually follow. And that sense of purpose, that can be different for everybody. Like mine is to be of service, and you know, and my kids are also a big part of that. And so it can be different for anybody. It could be like your purpose is making money. It could be faith-based. It could be where you work. This podcast is actually birthed out of that sense of purpose. So it's super good for me. And I know I've recommended this before, but I'll do it again. I found my sense of purpose and what I want to do through the work I did using this amazing book. And it's called Careergasm. I'll put it in the show notes. And the other thing that's helping me is in the forum, the ADHD Big Brother forum, having that accountability with everybody. And we're all moving our needle forward on a thing that fulfills that sense of connecting with people and that sense of community. So that's helpful. I also try to strip away as much like expectation on myself as possible, because I have a tendency to always feel like I need to be achieving something, or I always need to be bettering myself or improving or fixing or tweaking. And when I'm in a depressed state, I can easily spiral if I'm not self-aware enough to catch myself beating myself up, be like, oh, you're wasting your life. Why aren't you being productive? So I try to kill all that expectation and be like, no. I'm choosing to chill out and play video games. And this is my choice. I do as much as I can to not acknowledge the judgmental thoughts, because they come like a tsunami. And so my effort is in choosing what to attach myself to. It's massively helpful for me to recognize that, okay, thoughts are just thoughts. They're just my skull spaghetti zipping and zapping. And the result is a voice in my head that says, you suck. And that's all it is. It's a zippy, crappy, zappy. It's just a dumb zip zap. And it can come and go in one ear, out the other. I don't have to fight it. I don't have to prove it wrong. I don't have to do anything. It's like when somebody flips you off on the freeway, we have the choice. Do we let it affect us? Do we let it sink in? Or do we just go right back to rocking out and singing our songs on the road? My best medicine, I think, besides actual medicine, for my depressive episode is to not dwell on being in a depressive episode. And I forgive a lot. If I want to play video games for a few hours, I will. If I don't have it in me to cook, fine. I mean, you know what? Maybe I've got some chicken noodle soup in the pantry. Fine, whatever. The easier that I can make life for myself, that's what I do when I'm struggling. It's hard to do an episode on depression because you can't, it's like while I'm trying to record this, it's bringing me down. So like, what the fuck? I find it difficult in this episode. And it's hard because, you know, with ADHD, there's these specific skills, actual things that you can do. It's teachable. With accountability, expertise at those skills can be achieved. But life with depression, it's like a wave. And sometimes you're riding the wave, and sometimes you're being tossed underwater and you're being throttled over the coral like a cheese grater. You're just shredding your body and you're trying not to drown. You know, it's the yin and yang of life, really. And I'm currently mid-yang and I'm waiting for the yin to make an appearance. I hope you guys are able to get something out of this. I don't know. I have no idea. Were you guys able to extrapolate something out of this this episode on depression? I sure hope so. If any of you guys are in a depressive episode currently, my heart goes out to you. And not literally. I need my heart inside my chest for the blood. Symbolically, it is sent out to you. And you can always feel free to contact me. I'm around. And that's going to do it. I'm really interested in how this one is going to play out. I can't tell you the varying level of heaviness that I feel when I started recording this to how I feel now. I feel so heavy right now. I don't like it. I'm going to go take a shower. I'm going to play video games. I'm going to quiet the brain as much as possible. Okay. Thank you for listening to the podcast. And with that, I hope you guys have a great week. I hope you're not in a depressive episode. And if you are, I hope you come out of it soon. And I will talk to you later.